Hey, listen very closely. Listen very closely, okay? You know what that was? That was a can of Coke Zero opening up. That's right, a can of Coke Zero. That's right, no more regular Coca-Cola for me. I've made the switch to Coke Zero. Well, sort of. I'm going to give it a try. Anyway, welcome to Mornings with Ken. You know the routine. Go get that cup of coffee. Go get that virtual donut. Pull up a chair. Kick off your shoes. And stay a while. Because I'm really glad you're here. Hey, I've been trying to lose some weight. Well, I wouldn't say trying. I'm supposed to be losing weight. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done. In my life is lose weight because it requires a lot of change, a lot of change, and change is difficult. A wise man once said, and I forget if this wise man was Maximus the Counselor, or no, I'm sorry, Maximus the Confessor, a Catholic priest, if you would, Maximus the Confessor, or if it was a line from Maximum Overdrive, you know, the Stephen King movie. It's one of those two. Either it was an intellectual Maximus the Confessor, the Catholic priest, or it was a line from Maximum Overdrive, the Stephen King movie. I mean, you know, the similarities are so close. But anyway, a wise man once said, there is no change without tension. There is no change without tension. And how true that is when it comes to losing weight. There's a lot of tension because my body says it wants a Coca-Cola, but I know I need to make a better choice. Really, a better choice would be drinking water, but so this morning I had a Coke Zero, I mean, zero sugar. I mean, that's a start, right? It's a start in the right direction. But I have to learn to make a change because I want a Coke, I want bread, I want potatoes, fried foods. It's what I crave. But I can't have that stuff anymore. My body told me that, Ken, you're killing yourself. You need to eat natural foods. You need to eat healthy, natural foods, you know, like the good stuff, like the vegetables, the fruits, then some salad and protein, some good protein, not red meat, chicken, and drink some water. But it's not what I want, but it's what I need. But it's not what I want. It's what I need. It's what I need. And, so that's what we're going to be talking to about on Mornings with Ken. But let's take a 3-minute break, and I'll be right back.
Don't stop. by telling you it's food that's fun when it tastes like cardboard. It's like sponge, cause it's really only garbage on a sesame.
I don't stop eating this greasy American fast food, you won't have to embalm me with all the preservatives in it. My body will already be preserved. That's a great song. I love that song because it reminds me of how stupid us Americans are. The crap we put in our bodies. But there's a reason we do the things we do. And we need to make a change. And it's hard to make a change for three reasons. Three reasons why it's hard to make a change. And I'm not blaming my weight on anybody but myself. But you do have at least three things in this world that's working against you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, I think it was the great Thomas Aquinas. I don't know why I laugh every time I say his name. I think because one time I heard a funny song, and it mentioned Thomas Aquinas. But Thomas Aquinas in the Council of Trent. So Thomas Aquinas, I think he wrote a letter to the Council of Trent, and he talked about the three enemies of the soul. So I'm sure you've all heard that, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, Thomas Aquinas really expounded on those three in his letters to the Council of Trent. So, Thomas Aquinas says there are three enemies of the soul. Three enemies of the soul. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And these three things are working against mankind to corrupt mankind and get him away from God. And so let's first look at the world. Remember, there's the world, the flesh, the devil. Enemies of the soul. Number one, the world. You know, the world is naturally in opposition to God because of original sin. The world is in constant opposition to God. If God's to the right, the world is running as fast as it can to the left. There is a great separation between God and the world. The world is working against mankind. You know, and the world tells us, because the world is in opposition to God and it's an enemy of the soul of man, it tells us a bunch of lies. You know, Even look at the commercials on TV. Now I'm going to go way back, and I'm going to name one that you youngsters out there won't quite remember. But remember Burger King? I think they still might use this slogan. Have it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way. At BK. Have it your way. Have it your way. At Burger King. Whatever you want. You want that extra cheese on that Whopper? Get the extra cheese on that Whopper. I mean, you want some... you want the extra large size of onion rings? Get the extra large size of onion rings. Have it your way. It's all about you. It's you. It's about you. It's your needs. And more is better, right? More is better. Is it Red Robins? Red Robins. Red Robins, endless fries. I love Red Robins. You go there and get a nice juicy burger and get that burger with a little bit of pink in the middle. Oh my gosh. And endless fries. Yeah, so at Red Robin, they have the endless fries. Just when you think you're down to your last fry, they bring you another plate of fries. It's amazing. And if you get a good server, you don't even have to ask. Like the minute you get down to your last fry, all of a sudden a lady shows up with a whole plate of more fries. Because more is better, right? More is better. That's what the world tells us. It tells us that more is better. You know, think about all the commercials that you see on TV. A bigger house, a bigger car, a nicer car, or a car that you already have a nice car, but you don't have the newest one that just came out. But there's nothing wrong with your car, but you got to have the newest, latest, and greatest. You got to have the iPhone, what are we up to? iPhone 15,000? No, but whatever. The newest, the greatest. I mean, the world tells us lies because it's a constant drawing of our souls away from God. I want that flashy little toy that's getting my attention. I need that stuffed crust pizza. Oh, it's not enough that we have pizza with the sauce and the cheese, but now I want the cheese stuffed into the crust of the bread. Ah, I gotta have it, right? It looks good on TV. Papa John's. Oh. Oh my gosh, I gotta have it, right? The world says I gotta have it. You know, but the world is trying to draw us away from God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And remember, on Mornings with Ken, I don't mean to take scripture out of context, but I think this can be applicable in this situation, because often we do love the world or we love the things in the world. We do. We love these things. We love food. We love shiny toys. Sometimes we're so in love with the world that we're running full force away from God. So let me read that scripture one more time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at that second part of that scripture verse, the second phrase. Or the things in the world, or the things in the world, or the things in the world. Did you get that? Or the things in the world. God knew that there would be things in this world. He doesn't name them here. He doesn't name all those things. But he says, or the things in this world. Because even back in the times of Christ, in the early church, they knew, God knew, there would be things in this world that would grab our attention. Remember back in, I believe it was in the book of Judges, Joshua. Well, every time Joshua would lead them into another country and take over their city, God warned them ahead of time, don't take any devoted thing, which was like an idol, and bring it back to the camp, within the camp of Israel. When you go and conquer these cities, you're going to see things. You're going to see these carved out statues. There's going to be gold and silver. There's going to be tools. And God let them take some of those things. He let them take some tools, some iron tools and woodworking tools and all their belongings. But he told them not to take the devoted things. And devoted things were those that were dedicated to idols. But you remember the one family member that they took a devoted thing. They took the carved image, the representative of God. He wanted that thing of the world. He wanted that thing of the world. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 reminds us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What things do we like? For me, it might be food. Really, it's my Coca-Cola. But whatever it is, we're warned not to love those things. And wow, what a warning. What a warning. All right, so we talked about the world. Let's move on. Remember, we got the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's move on to the flesh. The flesh. Now, we talked about Thomas Aquinas' letters he wrote to the Council of Trent, right? So he wrote these letters warning them about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and kind of developing that theological idea, and he kind of put it together. Well, listen to how he puts it together. He told the Council of Trent that the world, the flesh, and the devil, he describes the flesh. So Thomas Aquinas describes the flesh as gluttony, sexual sins. And I love this part, this phrase that Thomas Aquinas used, disordered passions. Disordered passions. So the flesh represents disordered passions. See, it's not necessarily that passions are bad, that passions are evil, but the disordered passions, the way we have them prioritized in our lives, the disordered, how corrupted and disordered those passions are. Food is good. Food is good. It's nourishment for our bodies. But when it's out of order, when it's disordered, it becomes a disordered passion. So Thomas Aquinas, in his letters to the Council of Trent, talked about his description of what it means to be in the flesh, gluttony, disordered passions, and sexual sin is at least part of being in the flesh. And what really struck me was that phrase, disordered passions, because every time our passions are disordered, we get in the flesh. We become very fleshy. You know, we're all up in our flesh. Wow. That just really struck me. Disordered passions. Passions themselves are, you can have a great passion for a lot of different things, but when those passions become disordered, it becomes flesh and becomes sinful. And, wow. I was looking up some statistics, and from the Center of Disease Control, 42% of Americans are obese. 42% of Americans are obese. Do I need to say that again? 42% of Americans are obese. 37% are just fat. No, I made that word up. But 37% are just considered overweight. So 37% of people are overweight. 42% of Americans are obese. So if you do the math, 42 and 37, let's get our shoes off and use our toes and fingers. So that would be 9. That would be 5, 6, 7, 79%. 79%. Total of Americans are, I'm going to say the word fat, just because it's a way to describe both categories, I guess, obese or overweight. 42% are obese, 37% are overweight, so that's 79% of Americans are fat, you would say. 79%. 79%. Percent are fat, are in the flesh, have gluttony, disordered passions, sexual sins. Now, in this case, it's just gluttony, but 79% of Americans are fat. Yikes. Yikes. That's not good. That's not good. You know, and there's some scriptures that remind us about this stuff. You know, if we're going to be in the flesh, Galatians 5:16, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me read that again, right? Mornings with Ken, I always read scripture twice. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, I mean, God knew, God knows that we are we want to please the flesh. We want to please the flesh. You know, I had family over the other day. Had some family over because I got a new grandson. Yay, Emmett. Love Emmett. So we were kind of celebrating Emmett's arrival and had a little party. And my son-in-law, by the way, this is off subject, sidebar here. My son-in-law, me and him solved the end of days, the last things. Last things in the days, the end times, me and my son-in-law in our discussion, we totally solved Revelations. We totally solved, you got pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath. No, all of them are wrong. Me and my son-in-law, we solved that issue. So you want to know all about the end times, talk to me and my son-in-law We did it. We solved it. No, back to... Okay, sorry. Sorry for the sidetrack. Where was I going with this? Gratifying the desires of the flesh. Yes, so... We do lean. We're corrupted, and we want to satisfy the flesh. But we as believers have the Holy Spirit within us to help us guide us back on track. You know, at that party yesterday, we had some cupcakes. Oh man, there's cupcakes. Sam's Club got a big tray of cupcakes. And you know, wouldn't you know it, there's about enough for everybody to have one cupcake. But you know what? Not everybody had a cupcake. Like, not, I would say half the people had a cupcake. So you know what that meant? I ate two cupcakes. I was satisfying my flesh. I ate two. I figured I didn't want them to go to waste, right? They're just going to go to waste. No, but I didn't need to eat two cupcakes. One would have been more than enough, but I ate two. Because, you know, I was giving in to my flesh. I was gratifying the desires of my flesh according to Galatians 5:16. And I should have listened to the Spirit. Because the Spirit will lead you to all truth. And the truth is, I don't need to be fat. So, another scripture, Romans. Oh, this is going to be a long show. Sorry if I'm boring you guys. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now here, we know this is talking about spiritual matters, living to the flesh and desiring nothing of God and running towards the world, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Think of that phrase, the deeds of the body. What are the deeds of the body? Deeds of the body. I think you can kind of go back to what Thomas Aquinas said in his letters to the Council of Trent, that gluttony, disordered passions, and sexual sins. Gluttony, disordered passions. So if you live according to the flesh, gluttony, disordered passions, sexual sins, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I didn't mean to read Thomas Aquinas into that scripture, but the flesh. But if you put to death the deeds of the body, what are some of the deeds of the body? Think about your body. What does your body long to do? What are some of the deeds of the body? And I don't mean to be too graphic, but your body can lead you to sexual sin, and your body can overindulge in feeding itself. So those are at least two desires that will lead you to death. But if you walk by the Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body. You know, Scripture is so awesome. You just take out just a phrase, deeds of the body. What are the deeds of the body? I'm going to leave that to you to decipher for yourself, because we're going to run out of time here. All right, so we talked about the world, the flesh. Now let's talk about the devil, the father of lies. The devil, the father of lies. The devil's plan is to make you doubt God. Did God really say? I never noticed this before in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. You realize that really Satan's first lie to mankind was about food? Satan's lie to mankind, his first lie was about food. I mean, he used food in his lie. Because he wants you to run the opposite direction of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Let me read that again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Satan's very first lie was concerning food. You must not eat from any tree in the garden. Think about that. Satan was already trying to corrupt man, and he did it bringing out the deeds of the body. And we just talked about the deeds of the body. Part of the deeds of the body is food. So he's already tempting Eve. Excuse me while I cough. He's already tempting Eve with food. I don't think that's just like a coincidence. I don't think we need to overlook that. Let's not overlook that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Let's move on a little bit. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, moving down a little bit. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Read that again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food. Let's stop right there. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. The temptation was food. Satan used food as the temptation. She saw the fruit. She saw the fruit. It was there. It was pleasing to the eye. That cupcake was pleasing to the eye. And I did eat. I did partake of the sinful cupcake. Two of them, as a matter of fact. And then she gave it to her husband. Well, that's a whole nother story. He was there with her. And pleasing to the eye. Notice that, like, food serves a purpose by giving us nourishment that we need for our bodies. But just think how food looks. It's pleasing to the eye. The cupcake was pleasing to the eye. I had a chocolate one, and I had a yellow cake one. And I think the top frosting was like purple. And the other one was like a cream white topping. It was pleasing to the eye. So we see that the three enemies of the soul, according to Thomas Aquinas, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are the three enemies of the soul. So the devil's purpose is to move your heart away from God in any which way he can. Any which way he can move your heart away from God is his desire, because he wants to corrupt God's creation. Let's finish up here. So really what we need a heart change. We need our hearts changed. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts are already set against God. Naturally, our hearts are already set against God. Deceitful, wicked. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So our hearts become so hardened against God. Heart of stone. A heart that seems to be unmovable, to be moved towards God. A stony heart. A heart that is so set against everything God counts as holiness. Our heart is set like a stone against it. But in Ezekiel 36:26, God said he will put in us a new spirit and a new heart, a heart of flesh moved towards the things of God. And that's really what we need, is we all need a heart change. We all need heart surgery, but it can only come through the Spirit of God. It can only come from the Spirit of God. And, boy, this is a long show. I apologize today, guys. You guys got places to go and people to see. But I was thinking about why we need this heart change. There's a lot of reasons why. One, for eternal salvation. But real quick, I was looking at top 8 things that most Americans, we already talked about Americans being fat and overweight, obese, but the top things Americans are worried about, the top 8 things Americans are worried about, and we'll go in this order here, healthcare. So Americans are worried about healthcare. They're worried about the Democrats and Republicans working together. So Americans just don't trust the two parties. They want them to work together, and it's not happening. Americans are concerned about these issues. Number 3, Americans is concerned about drug addiction. Drug addiction is rampant, to say the least. Number 4, gun violence. Number 5, violent crimes. Number 6, the federal debt. I found that interesting, federal debt. Number 7, moral values. Number 8, illegal immigration. I found number 7 very interesting, moral values. Americans are worried about moral values. But so there's at least 8 things that we are worried, very, very worried about as Americans. And we have no solution. We really don't. And you can't look to your senators and congressmen for solutions. Because all these things that I just mentioned are heart issues. Are heart issues. So you can't look to man to solve these problems. You can't look to man to fix the world, the flesh, and the devil. it requires a heart change. It requires a heart change. And let me just finish with Psalms 51. Psalms 51, okay? Real quick, and then I'll let you go. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me, I will be clean. Wash me, I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to ask God for a new heart, a pure heart. Thanks for stopping by today, guys. I love you. Have an awesome day.
Song can make you cry and take your